Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ. I'm CJ Liu, and this segment starts our four-part series on setting your clocks to Buddha standard time. Today, we have the honor of having Lama Surya Das, who Dalai Lama refers to as American Lama, and we are going to be talking about time. Welcome, Lama Surya Das.
Thanks very much. A pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so let's talk about your book. Tell us a little bit about what prompted you to write your book, Buddha Standard Time.
Well, CJ, I'm a Buddhist teacher, the American Lama, as you said, so I'm teaching, writing, going around the country, around the world, leading retreats, meeting many people of all ages, teaching meditation, giving spiritual counseling. I hear a lot from people about their problems, and I've written 14 books, mostly about Buddhism, but about all kinds of spiritual practices, life's big questions, and so on, especially my big bestseller, Awakening the Buddha Within, 8 Steps to Enlightenment. But this time I wanted to write something about a seminal problem today that many people have, and I thought I would write about dealing with anger, but I ended up writing about dealing with time, time illness, time pressure, time sickness, time anxiety. As wherever I go, people say they don't have enough time. So I started to think about that, and over the last few years, and noticed that really it's not time we lack, but focus, priorities, and awareness. And then we have all the time in the world. It's up to us how we use it or abuse it, how we spend it or lose it. So I wrote this book, Buddha Standard Time, Awakening to the Infinite Possibilities of Now, in an effort to think about that, research it, address it, and provide some Buddhist and otherwise spiritual, let's say, or mindfulness-oriented tips and pointers, tools and techniques that people can use to be more present, to be more master rather than victim of time, of outer things and circumstances, to make more time and to create more time, to use more wisely the time that we have, because time is life and it's an endangered natural resource. We've hardly realized that, I'm afraid.
So one of the things that you said, and I think it's somewhat counterintuitive, but how is time related to, you know, focus, priorities, and attention? Because it seems, how are those two related? Because I don't think it's, until you read your book, I don't think it's obvious.
Well, there's really no such thing as time. Time is very relative, as Albert Einstein discovered rather recently, and the mystics and sages have been talking about for millennia and centuries. And there's linear sequential time, ordinary time, and then there's divine time or eternity, which all the religions talk about, and everybody knows about, the timeless. In Buddhism, what we call the fourth time, the holy now, that bisects, the ascendant line that bisects every moment of forward-charging, sequential, linear, conventional time. So every moment is the now, but we don't feel very here and now. We ourselves say so-and-so is lost in the past or the future. We don't realize that remembering takes place in the present. It's a here-now awareness activity, for example. Planning or even fantasizing about the future takes place in the present. It's a here-now awareness activity. So in this way, we can gather ourselves, collect our energy and our presence of mind to be more lucidly present and attentive. Because if we're not here now, CJ, I guarantee you we won't be there then. That's a timeless truth.
So what you're saying is that, you know, basically our notion of time is this linear time. Like, how many minutes do we have until blah, 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 you know, those kind of concepts of time. And then when we do that, I mean, what I got from your book, at least, is when I'm constantly looking at my watch and planning, I'm not really present at all. So I'm not even really even experiencing the moment or any time. I mean, I'm experiencing the clock measure time. That's what, is that what you meant?
Yes, linear sequential clock time, small time. But what about the big time? What about eternity? What about divine time? What about when we forget about time, we're so present, we're so in the moment? Perhaps, let's take a very exaggerated example to make the point, giving childbirth, giving birth. One is so present, you're not thinking about it. And also, it seems to take forever, even though it doesn't. Of course, but when you're in pain, time seems to take longer. When you're having pleasure or good time, time goes fast, as the saying goes. So it's an example how time is so subjective, like space. And so we can work with that consciously. And we can realize, for example, like when we're stuck in traffic, do we even remember we're sitting there in the chair and in the seat and feel our bodies? Or are we just leaning forward into the future where we think we're going to get and what we're going to do when we get there? So we live at a certain distance from our body, and there's a cause to that. And no wonder why we're suffering, most of us, from stress and anxiety, time illness, and so on. Mm-hmm. And everybody says they don't have enough time, but I ask, where did all the time go? We have longer lifespans than generations of old. We have many labor-saving devices. We have quicker travel, instant communications, microwaves, so we don't have to cook a potato for 50 minutes. We can bake it in 5 minutes, 3 minutes. Yeah. But we don't seem to have more time. We're multitasking ourselves to death. So what are we doing with our life? Time is life. What are we doing to ourselves?
So do you think it's a person's...
How can we seize the moment? That's my question. How can we seize the moment and live according to our real priorities?
Yeah, I mean, but part of it is our perception, too, of time is what you're saying, right? Is that the perception is that when we're in pain, like you said, it actually time goes very slowly. And when we're having a joyful time, it goes very quickly. So part of this is altering our perception of time as well, isn't it?
Yes, that's what it means when we say time and space are relative or subjective. In fact, everything is subjective, but that's another matter. For example, there's the saying, the watched pot never boils. Of course it'll boil eventually. What it means is the watch pot never seems to boil. On the other hand, friends, as soon as you take your attention away from the pot that's supposed to boil, you know, you go in the other room, you forget about it. Next thing you know, all the water's boiled away. Mm-hmm. You see, because you're doing something else. Attention is the essence. Mm-hmm. We forget about the other thing, and it goes much faster. So the watch pot never seems to boil is an example. Einstein himself said that time is very relative, and I can't understand EMC squared. You probably can, CJ, because you're young and brilliant, but I can't understand his other famous saying, which I love to recall, where Einstein, who was a real guy, you know, and he had a few marriages and he had his own family issues, he said something like, just think about how long that those moments and minutes seem to be before you make your first kiss. And those while waiting for your first kiss, how long that seems to be.
Yeah, that's a great example.
You know, that's a good from Einstein himself about the relativity of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, when you've talked to people, how have they experienced when they actually go into this Buddhist central or standard time? Why do I keep on saying central time? I don't know. Maybe it's because it's central to your being. But when people go into this standard time, I mean, how are they experiencing it? Are they finding that they have more time in their day, or is it just because their perception shifts of it, or what happens from people have been reading your book and you've heard from people?
Some people have different experiences and then different reports. Some people say it changes their life. Other people say it's a little helpful. You know, it partly depends on them, of course, you know, how they apply the tools and techniques. For example, I teach people to breathe, relax, center, focus, and smile. So first you breathe, relax, and smile. How long does that take? You know, people say, I don't have an extra half an hour in the morning to meditate or do yoga. Okay. Mm-hmm. Breathe, relax, center, focus, and smile while you're waiting in a red light, friend. And right. Have an instant American meditation, you know, 10-second meditation. Also, it's free. Hey, what's the risk?
I love it.
Breathe, relax, center, focus, and smile.
The risk-free offer from Lama Surya Das. I love it. All right, many thanks, Hugh. Up next, we want to talk a little bit more about how you change your pace and more specifics on how we actually go about making these changes. Please listen to the rest of our show, either on iTunes or firedupwithcj.com if you miss any of it. And make sure to go to East West Bookstore on January 12th in Seattle for reading and book signing of Buddha Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.